JM and the AM on a Monday morning broadcast. Yeah, listening to Galei Tzal may be the closest we get to Israel for a while. Rabbi Dov Lipman is with us live via telephone. He's founder and CEO of Yad La'olim, which does an amazing job helping people with so many different things when it comes to Aliyah, when it comes to even visiting Israel, as he and his staff have been doing over the last 2 years during this corona pandemic. And he has an update for us from Israel. Dov Lipman, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM and the AM.
Thanks so much, Nachum. Great to speak to you.
So you know that we've postponed our December trip 3 times, and we were supposed to leave this coming Saturday night. That's not going to happen. And now this is, if I'm not mistaken, the 9th time in 2020 and 2021 that we have had to either unplan or postpone or cancel a broadcast trip to Israel. Can you explain why we are experiencing this and what is going on that has led the government to almost completely shut down the country to travel or travelers?
Well, my first thought is that the Israeli government clearly wants us to be in regular contact as you check in with me and we talk about what's happening. But essentially, the Israeli authorities say that they have information that shows that this variant, the Omicron variant, has the potential to be extremely explosive in terms of how many people will contract the virus through this variant. And as a result of that, there's a fear of, even though at the moment the numbers do not show significant illness, and certainly the vaccinations seem to be doing their job in terms of protecting people from serious illness, there's a fear of perhaps that not continuing to be so, and also the degree to which non-vaccinated will become seriously ill and what that will mean for the hospitals and the overall situation in the country. And therefore, as a result, this morning the government voted to expand the list of countries that they call red. We already have the United Kingdom, South Africa, Denmark, France, Spain, Sweden, Finland, Norway, and Ireland in that category. And now it's been expanded to Turkey, Portugal, Morocco, Hungary, Germany, Belgium, Switzerland, Italy, and the big ones for your audience, certainly Canada and the United States. What does it mean that a country is classified as red? Essentially, it means that non-Israelis and non-visa holders for Israel, you know, people who they're sent there, their life is in Israel, they cannot come to Israel with the exception of real extreme emergencies. And I can just tell you, Nachum, and to everyone listening, as someone who is trying to fight for these exceptions on a daily basis, it is a battle. The authorities are very hesitant, and the only real exceptions are parents for a child's wedding. That's one which they ask no questions about. And then, you know, extreme mental health, physical health emergencies, and even those, it's a very, very gray area. That's in that direction. In the other direction, Israelis and visa holders that live in Israel, they can't fly to the red countries unless they get special permission. And our staff at Yad La'olim, I mean, you really cannot imagine the number of people that are reaching out to us because they're asking for these approvals. And first of all, how to get the approval, and also being rejected, and then we have to go to bat and try to fight for them. So it's a real, real complicated time.
If someone's sibling is getting married in the United States, how likely is it that sibling can fly in from Israel?
At the moment, if that sibling is an Israeli citizen or a visa holder in Israel, pretty much the answer is going to be no.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Because I know of weddings that are taking place in the next couple of weeks here in the United States where they're anticipating a lot of relatives coming in from Israel. I'm talking about close relatives.
Yes, yes. Now, I will tell everyone, and this is important, because you want to know that someone's fighting for you. We're going to be in the Vada in the Knesset tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, and I've already been working the phones all day with members of Knesset and the chairman of the committee, and we're going to work really hard to expand those allowances because we just don't feel it's fair. And the chairman of the committee, member of Knesset Gilad Kariv from the Labor Party, has been a real advocate for Olim, for their families, for global Jewry. and we're trying to build a little bit of a coalition there within the committee. They're probably going to approve it as is, but conditional on expanding the list of exceptions in both directions within a week. I'll tell you, my biggest battle right now is for coming into Israel. We just fought a battle 2 weeks ago for this, which was for parents of mother, father giving birth, and to have the grandparents there for the birth, and now we have to fight for it again because it's not included in the criteria for red countries. And we have a battle the other direction, which is, I mean, I live in Beit Shemesh. So many of our neighbors made Aliyah, and their primary livelihood is in the United States.
Right.
Doctors and lawyers and accountants, right, and businessmen, and they travel sometimes twice a month for a week at a time. And at the moment, that's not an automatic exception to be able to travel and support their families. And obviously, we're going to raise that in the committee, and we're going to fight really hard. And I do believe we'll have success in terms of expanding this to a certain degree, but everyone has to just be aware of the gravity of the situation and the stringency of the rules.
Those of us in radio, you think there'll be a broadcast trip this winter, or we have to be much more patient?
So I have asked, how long do they think this is going to go for? And many of the authorities, especially in the health ministry, when I speak to them, you know, not in front of the cameras, they say a lot of this is exploratory, meaning they just don't know where this is going. And it could be that 2 weeks from now, we'll be in a situation where they feel comfortable with the numbers, they feel comfortable with the scientific data, and then they'll be able to start scaling things back and getting back somewhere towards normal. I don't want to give anybody false hope to think that somehow over the course of this winter, everything will in any way get back to normal. You know, in Israel, they're already talking about, you know, will we need a fourth booster for the senior population? That seems to be a direction that people are starting to think about. So we just have to see how things play out. Things are very, very fluid and dynamic. And I actually ask anyone who wants to get, if you want to get updates sent to you in real time, just email info@yadlolim.org with your information, and we'll add you to our update list, because things are really happening quickly, and rules sometimes change from literally one morning to the afternoon. So you definitely want to be on top of it to understand exactly what's happening.
Yadlolim.org has all the information, the travel updates, yadlolim.org. And you know that, I mean, this is no secret. You know this, and I think everybody in Israel who's of American background knows this. We're less than a month away from yeshiva break. Any families that had reservations for January, what would you say to them today?
Yeah, a large percentage of the messages that I'm getting today are people that are thinking that way. I'm not telling people to cancel yet. I am saying to definitely be aware of by what date you have to cancel in order to get your money back, but also in your mind, be prepared for that possibility. Because let's remember, that's almost 2 degrees removed. This is not, you know, a red country exception. That's one level of stringency.
Right.
And the next level is people who have, you know, a simcha, first-degree relatives who are Israeli citizens. Now you're talking about visiting a student who's here on a student visa, and that's pretty far removed. So I don't think it's likely, but I've been very, very cautious through this whole process, not to say things that are definitive in nature, not to make any kind of guarantees, but definitely it should be in their mindset that there's a strong likelihood that they won't be able to make that trip, unfortunately.
Are other people aside from me discussing with you the overall bigger picture philosophical conversation about the disconnect between diaspora Jewry and Israel? And this is coming from somebody who's been there during Corona, but I think that this is that the deep divide that continues to expand between Israel and diaspora Jewry is unhealthy for our nation. Am I making too big of a deal of this?
You're not. I can tell you that there are, you know, this is in both directions, actually. People who have made Aliyah, who, you know, felt that they never would have made Aliyah if they couldn't have their family support along the way, and people coming and being part of their smachot, and people even today who just wrote to me, I give up, I have to go back. I just need to be with my family, and I'll just tell the authorities I'm moving back, and they mean it really. They're not trying to play a game.
Right.
That's very devastating to see. On the other other side, there's no doubt we're hearing it all the time from people who love Israel and support Israel. We're hearing from organizations that are now finding it more difficult to raise much-needed funds. I'm talking about critical organizations for things that are happening in Israel. That's all very difficult to hear and to see. I've been certainly raising this with members of Knesset and government ministers since the very beginning of this process. And to be honest with you, in the there were deaf ears in the beginning. I don't think people were able to hear what we were saying. But little by little, it's starting to creep in. There was a delegation of members of Knesset that were brought to European Jewish communities, and they came back and they came to committee and they said, "My friends, we don't understand what we're doing. We're destroying the connection that they feel to Israel." They were using those terminologies.
Yeah.
And now we've had certainly the religion minister Matan Kahana came out and said, "We should be exploring putting diaspora Jewry into a different category and not loop them together with all foreigners and tourists." We had the intelligence minister, Elazar Stern, made a similar statement. So it's becoming part of the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as long as they're facing a health ministry, which is quite strong in terms of its stance on all of these issues and very difficult to move, very few leaders want to be put in the position of seemingly being against what the health ministry is saying. And if there's even the remote possibility of some kind of an outbreak and public health issue in Israel, they don't want to be the ones who decided on who were the wrong side of that issue. So that's really where we're battling. So yes, it has entered the conversation, but not to the point of it impacting any significant decisions at the moment.
Well, we are family or we're not family. Someone's got to make that decision. It's surprising to me that the Prime Minister of Israel, who has spent time in the United States and understands the connection between diaspora Jewry and Israel, and also, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he lead diaspora affairs at one point in the Knesset? I believe he did.
He was the minister, yeah.
Yeah,
I would think,
and knowing what he thinks about the role that Israel has in educating Jews around the world, even more of a role than Israel had in that regard a decade ago, I would think that he'd be much more sensitive to this issue and at the minimum speak more about it, at the minimum publicly regret that this is happening and speak to the heart of Jewry in the diaspora, because right now they all feel that they're being ignored. And those of us in the Dati community, those of us in the religious community, there's a way to make that up. There's, you know, we have a connection. We're talking about Jerusalem many times a day, whether we like it or not. That's part of our lexicon. But there are a lot of Jews here in the United States of America who've done great job, who are not necessarily Orthodox, who have done great jobs in keeping a Zionist connection for their family and in raising children who end up being lone soldiers in the army. And it's that crowd that I'm most concerned about. They don't hear a message from Israel about how much their love is still wanted and how much Israel still cares about them.
Yeah, the Prime Minister did pen a letter, it was either last week or 2 weeks ago, to the leadership of the Federation in North America. And you know, that's a gesture, it's a step. But I do agree that it would be much better if there was an actual conversation, if he was actually speaking directly to the people. I've mentioned this as soon as he became Prime Minister. I felt that this was critical because we knew that he was going to be leading us during Corona time. And I did feel he was someone who could understand. But you know, I'm in a strange place, because on the one hand, I'm advocating day and night for changes and lobbying for change. And believe me, behind closed doors, there's a lot of things that are expressed, and we have been able to move the needle here and there. On the other hand, you know, it is our government, and I do want to, you know, at least acknowledge the fact that their primary concern is the health of the people of Israel. What I've been pressing for, and I even did this yesterday in committee outright, was I just said, give us numbers. In other words, they were talking about how many people were coming in from flights that had this variant, and I said, okay, I understand that, but how many of those are non-vaccinated Israelis who were just going on vacation versus vaccinated people from overseas who got approvals to come here? And I would venture to say, just from what I've read, that it's probably mostly the non-vaccinated who brought it in, just from what we've seen. So we're pressing very hard for statistics and for numbers and for things to be based on data and for that data to be presented publicly. Tomorrow's committee, I do believe, is going to be an important one. It's at 11 o'clock in the Law and Constitution Selection Committee, and you know, I think they are going to vote in favor of the government's decision, but that they will hopefully both expand the exceptions and also, again, introduce this discussion about how we have to view global jury in a different manner than they're being seen at the moment.
So, Vlipman, we appreciate you taking up this issue and continuing to do so, and we appreciate all the work you're doing in keeping us informed about what's happening regarding travel to Israel. Thanks, Wolf. Thank you very, very much for that. And
Thanks so much.
We suggest everyone go to yadlolim.org, yadlolim.org, support their efforts, and certainly get all the information there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. B'serot tovot, everyone.
Amen. More coming up. It's JM in the AM.